Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. Made Up Savannah is a creative production of Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, serving Savannah since 1978. And the Made Up Savannah podcast is brought to you by Savoy Society, Colleagues and Lovers, and the Savannah Cabaret. You know, some people have a dream home. Some people have 10 dreams about buying property in 10 different places. At Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, we always want you to live who you are, wherever and whatever that dream looks like. You hear businesses talking sometimes about how long they have served a city, but do you ever stop and wonder if they mean that's how long they've been in business there? Or do they really mean that's how long they've served that community? Corcoran Austin Hill Realty truly serves Savannah. Yes, I mean the region, but I really mean the people, the history, the business developers, the nonprofits, all communities, all backgrounds, the buyers, the sellers, the investors, the mom and pop shop owners, the first time home seekers, the young, the matured, and we've been doing it serving you since 1978. Corcoran Austin Hill Realty sits beautifully at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets in historic Savannah, home of the Made of Savannah podcast studios, and home to a huge group of people ready to serve you. 251 Bull Street, Savannah. Stop in, ask questions, see local artists at Location Gallery, and check out available listings at CorcoranAHR.com. And I'm so excited to jump in with this bonus episode all about Loop It Up Savannah. And if you haven't heard about Loop It Up, I want to tell you a little bit about this great organization. Loop It Up Savannah is a youth arts and educational enrichment organization that brings arts integrated learning to more than 10,000 young people across the Savannah area every year. And you might not believe this, but it is true. If you haven't heard about it, it started way back in 2008. And I'm very excited to talk about how it started and where it's grown and where it's going with the founder and executive director, Molly Lieberman. Molly, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is such a fun time for us to sit down and chat. I've always wanted to know a little bit more about Loop It Up, and I've never met you until we decided to do a fantastic event together, which we're going to talk about too this Thursday, Colleagues and Lovers in Habersham Village. So we're going to give you details about that. But tell me if I'm right, Molly, that you moved here in 2005?
2006.
2006. Yes. Mm-hmm. Kicked this big organization off in 2008. And here we are today. And it's even bigger and better. And you're reaching more kids than ever.
It's super exciting. We did not start as a big organization, right, as you can imagine. We started very small, actually as an after-school knitting and crochet program at the West Broad Y. I was a 19-year-old college student and had a wonderful opportunity to go and volunteer to help teach the kids how to knit and crochet. And I just kind of randomly went over there. It wasn't a big meditated move or anything. But as soon as I went, I realized I had walked into exactly where I needed to be. Sometimes you just know, you're lucky if you realize it, you know, especially at a young age like that. And I just fell in love with the kids, the neighborhood, everything that was going on, how much sort of excitement there was surrounding creativity and opportunities to share stories about life and just share experience and make beautiful things. So Loop It Up went pretty quickly from strictly knitting and crochet to all different types of expressive, more expressive story-based artwork. So painting, sculptures, writing, illustrating, pretty much everything you can imagine. And we didn't really have a lot of resources, so we would just collect random stuff and people's old art supplies. And it just became this sort of beautiful, very organic, fun thing for the kids and in the Kate and Fraser neighborhood, which I was so glad to have gotten to start out in. It really created a wonderful foundation for getting to become part of a community and really learn from that community and build programming based on the dreams that the neighborhood has, rather than coming in with ideas from the outside. Loop It Up has always been very responsive. So we started in that very small way, and then over the years grew to serve more and more kids still out of West Broad Y. And then in 2015, we incorporated as a nonprofit. And at that point, things really started to spread out and grow to the organization that we see today.
Right. I mean, you've been able to watch kind of, especially downtown Savannah, grow up around you. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's so different, I would imagine.
It's very different
today than it was when you were starting and starting to build all this in the grassroots stage.
Mm-hmm. It's very different. Yeah, it's been sometimes even unrecognizable. Fortunately, there's still some familiar pockets in there, but there's been so much of development, redevelopment of the downtown area. It's different than it was.
Yeah. It's amazing to me to kind of watch that progression. When people talk about, you know, starting in a specific area of town or of Savannah and then being able to grow into other areas. I mean, that takes a lot of people to get on board and get mm-hmm. behind you and volunteers. And,
absolutely.
You know, it takes a lot to build these relationships with, you know, another group of kids and another, maybe a school system. And I mean, that's been part of the map for you guys too, correct?
Absolutely. And you're right. It does not happen overnight. We say at Loop It Up that everything moves at the speed of trust, which is incredibly true.
I love that.
I mean, it's the sooner you can realize that in working in anything in community work, I think the happier you'll be and the more you'll understand why things go the way they go. So, you know, we were so fortunate, as I said earlier, to be able to start in one neighborhood and really, really just grow into that neighborhood and build together. And then, you know, Our story of how we started to work in the schools was actually sort of equally organic how it happened. A good friend of mine, Howard Morrison, who's actually all of Loop It Up was his idea. He was a board member at West Broad Y at the time. He also was involved with Junior Achievement, which brings business leaders into classrooms right. throughout the school system. And he was working with a class at Brock Elementary School. This was long ago before, actually, it was still called Bartow Elementary, and it was before the school had been rebuilt, but it's the elementary school in the heart of West Savannah. He was working on a project focused on the ocean with the kids, mm-hmm. and I guess some of the students had requested to make stuffed animals of the ocean creatures that they were writing reports about, and so he just kind of asked me to come in with him one day, didn't tell me anything about what was going on. And, you know, met the kids, they read me their reports and they said, we want to make these stuffed animals. And we heard that you could help us do that. And I said, oh yeah, I could probably help you do that. So he goes, well, you know, this class is a democracy. Raise your hand if you'd like Miss Molly to start coming in and working with you on this other layer. And the whole class raised their hand. And yes. I just looked at them like, okay. So that was how we started working in the schools.
I love that.
Which I think, you know, again, always very responsive. We try to meet wishes and dreams and needs when they come up. But that was at the end of a school year. We were able to spend some time at the end of that school year really working with that one fifth grade class.
Right.
And then, of course, some other teachers on that hallway saw what was going on and they said, hey, you know, maybe next year you could come do something with my class. So one thing sort of led to another. And, you know, I think when you start working small like that and really make it what it should be, people see it and they want to be part of it. They right. want more of it. They want to volunteer. They want you to maybe come in and do something in another area. And so that was really 100% what happened for Loop It Up. And I had a professor in college who taught this repeat pattern design class, like wallpaper and fabric design. And he would say, when you're making a unit of pattern, work small and then repeat big. And that always sticks in my head, like work small, generate something that's really high quality, that really works. And then you can repeat it and you can grow it and you can duplicate it in many, many ways.
Yeah.
But if you don't really focus on doing a really solid job with creating whatever it is, it's much harder to grow. So that has really informed the way that Loop It Up has kind of grown up over the years as well.
Yeah. What a great lesson.
Right? I know. That was Jeremy Noonan. He was my repeat pattern design professor at SCAD many years ago.
Yeah. What a fantastic lesson. You know, I think about so many businesses and nonprofits that get started out of Savannah. And so many of them are looking for that piece of advice of like, okay, mm-hmm. how do we do this? We have such a great, creative area here. There are so many people that have so many talents and, you know, I think especially with SCAD being here, you get a lot of people and students that are like, okay, I've got talent. I've got this, you know, what can I bring to this community? How can I serve this community? And I what a great piece of advice for them to pick up on too, because I think I watch a lot of these businesses and nonprofits really thrive here. And, you know, at the same time, everybody's sort of always looking to the future, like how do we scale, right? You know, how do we grow this? And you're right. I think what a great testimony from Loop It Up. Like if you focus on where we are right here in this little pocket, what does that look like if we totally make that successful and mm-hmm. everything that should be? And then we repeat that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you adapt, you know, because that's the other key piece is really responding to the specific needs and dreams of each community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at this point, we have several core programs that are at many schools, many locations. But every last one of them was started at one school at the request of one principal who said, I'm working on this thing. I have an idea about how you can help us.
Yeah.
Will you help us do X, Y, and Z? And so all three of our core programs started that way at one school, different schools for each one. And then we were able to really build something wonderful together that was very informed by the individual and unique voice of that community, that right. micro, that school community, that neighborhood. And then, you know, from that, okay, we can now offer this someplace else, but there's always a level of customization that happens based on what's going on in each individual place. And I think that's a real key to success, probably in any field,
yeah.
but certainly working with people. If you're able to figure out how what you have intersects with what they're looking for and what their dreams are, what sure. their needs are,
yeah.
and then kind of create something that does both,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's really a place where everybody wants to be. There's
right.
no shortage of, if you can do that, there's really no shortage of opportunities to become involved in
yeah.
different communities. So that's really how we have become such a widespread and have presence in such widespread communities in
yeah.
Savannah.
I mean, and so many people know about Loop It Up. I mean, I think that's so great. I mean, you know, I heard about Loop It Up when I first moved here, like 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I got to get to know them and figure out,
yeah.
you know, I got to figure out what they, because everybody knew the name. And so I love that.
I mean, awesome.
That is, again, is such a testament to what you guys are doing. Before I ask Molly any more questions, I do want to tell you that you can come and meet the team at Loop It Up. You can come and support Loop It Up this coming Thursday at Colleagues and Lovers, Habersham Village. Now we're going to be there from 5 to 7, but what's cool is if you only like have a lunch break or something, you can go over to Colleagues and Lovers that day. So it's Thursday, April 4th, and all day a portion of the proceeds are going to Loop It Up. So I think that
so
is going to be so good, right?
Yes, a good reason to enjoy really good food and drinks
yeah.
at any point in the day.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so, of course, we're all going to be there for happy hour. So
and looking forward to it.
Same girl. So 5 to 7, you can see all of us. The Made of Savannah team is going to be there, and so many great people from the community will be there at Colleagues and Lovers this Thursday, so we'd love to see you there. Tell me, you moved here from Massachusetts?
That's right. Yeah.
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big jump.
It was.
Down south.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you? I always love hearing everybody's like, how did you get to Savannah story?
Yes, we all have a good one, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, so I technically moved here to go to school,
mm-hmm.
But really there was just something about Savannah. Like I just had this gut feeling I'm supposed to go there. I'm supposed to live there. And
love
I remember
that.
Coming down and visiting with my dad. And before I even went to visit SCAD, I just could tell, like, and I remember saying to him, I'm going to move here. And he was like, okay, you know, he's like, wait till you see the school or, you know, something. But there was just something about Savannah. I could just feel that there was this sort of reason for me to be here. And I, you know, of course, when I met the kids a few years later, I was aha, that was it. That was it. But it was a big change because, of course, it's not only far away physically from where I grew up, it's just a very different culture and environment.
Yeah.
So that was certainly some levels of adjustment, but I never really, I don't feel like I dealt with any sort of dramatic shocks of it. And I think that that was partly just because of, you know, the circles of people that I have been with the whole time have always, there's always been people that I felt very at home with here in Savannah. And that has included both people that are from here and also, as my friend Tom Kohler says, come here's. And there's a lot of us come here's at this point.
Yeah.
So I always felt at home, really from that initial moment.
Wow.
But certainly there are things that are really different about it, from the weather to
the food. Do you miss the snow?
Not really. I miss the fall. I miss the fall up there.
Yeah.
I miss the fall. I miss the beautiful leaves. I miss like actual crispy, cool weather for more than 5 minutes.
Right.
I miss the first snow maybe, but I do not miss the long haul of winter up there.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, we were in Virginia, and so not as far as you were, but still we had a very clear, very beautiful fall in Virginia. And
it's
so
beautiful there.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and we were sort of right, you know, down through the middle in Richmond and D.C. area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Luray Caverns there in Charlottesville, and you got the whole thing. But same, like we, you know, I could take one dusting of pretty snow. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, don't miss digging my car out
every day at the icy roads.
I don't miss any of that.
And we had, I just will always remember, when I was a kid, we lived right by a YMCA, and they would plow all the snow from the neighborhood into this corner of the YMCA parking lot. And it would be a mountain of snow. And that mountain would not melt until May.
It stays.
It would just be there. And so, you know, when you think about that in the context of Savannah's weather, it's kind of unbelievable.
It's true.
You know?
Whole different
kind
world.
Kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a whole different world.
Yes.
We love it. And we love doing business here. And we've found the same thing, that we felt called to be here. Mm-hmm. There was something that we were supposed to do here. There were people we were supposed to meet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Savannah lends itself to that kind of calling and charm and people. And it is a people place.
It is a people place.
It really is.
Yeah. And it's a place that while there are many traditions and also kind of expectations about how things work, I have found that there is a remarkable amount of open-mindedness and creativity, which I think is not necessarily that the story that Savannah always tells about itself.
Sure.
I wasn't necessarily expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had way more yeses than nos about new ideas. And that is so exciting to me that, in this kind of storyline of Loop It Up, that somebody could have an idea and just kind of start doing this thing. And all of a sudden it's this bigger and bigger thing. And there's all of these doors and opportunities and ways to offer that have come up. And I know that some of the things that we've done over the years were brand new ideas and maybe made people a little bit uncomfortable. But there, I think, again, back to that idea of all of it moving at the speed of trust, that's how change happens, right? Change happens because people have the relationships that allow something new that maybe we're not sure exactly how it's going to go.
Yeah.
We have that trust that it's probably be okay because we trust each other and we know each other. So that has always really impressed me about our community. But also it really inspires me because it's like things can evolve and things can change. And, you know, it's good to be in a place where that is true.
Yeah.
Even if it feels like uphill battles sometimes.
No doubt. And you're right. I think there is an open door here for conversations around things that are different. And I love that. And that is how we all grow.
Right.
You know? I mean, that is truly how we all grow.
Yeah.
And so as we are in a very interesting climate, I would say, with conversations around how our kids are doing, how the schools are doing with art, the arts programs mm-hmm. that they have. And, you know, there's been a lot of, I think, some fear with a lot of people that, you know, are the kids going to get what they need when it comes to the arts and being creative and being to tap into that? Are school systems going to take that away? And I think some even have in some instances. And how do you feel about all that? And where does Loop It Up come into that conversation sure. in order to sort of help educate the rest of us, ease the fears mm-hmm. and provide what the kids need?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so our school system is, I would say, in a very good place in terms of those concerns. We have art teachers, music teachers at every single school, and they have always been there. So that is not, fortunately, very fortunately, that has not happened in our school system. We've definitely heard the stories of other places all around the country
yeah.
and maybe even the state. But Savannah Chatham has done a beautiful job with the fine arts element being a consistent force in the kids' lives.
Yeah.
So that is really something to be grateful for in itself. There's an amazing group of art teachers in our district, amazing group of music teachers, and they are really a consistent force for good in their students' lives and in their school communities. And then the other thing that we're starting to see is that a lot of schools are pursuing STEAM certifications, which is like STEM plus arts.
Right.
Or they are working on becoming an arts integration school. So you're starting to see the arts get pulled into the core instruction space in ways that are really, really exciting. And so it was interesting because we, you know, when Loop It Up first started working in the schools, there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. Kids would do art in art class, but it wasn't necessarily coming into the classroom. There wasn't as much project-based learning or arts integrated learning going on. And so at that point, one of the only times that the students might have an opportunity with that was when a partner like us would come in
right.
and work with teachers on doing the workshops. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, doing big, messy projects in the middle of a tight scheduled school day is it's hard,
right?
It's a
right.
lot to manage, yeah. you know? And then also there's so many academic requirements and expectations that exist every single day. So for a while we were really serving that purpose of we could be a partner that a school could call upon to come in and help make something like that possible.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the last couple of years, we've really seen this pivot that I mentioned to STEAM education, arts integrated learning, personalized learning, project-based learning, all of those things. And so at first I thought, oh, I wonder if, you know, they're not going to need us anymore.
Right,
but
sure.
actually it's created even more opportunities because the schools are growing into teaching and learning with those methods and needing support in various mm. ways. In some cases, they're actually required to have partners come in and help. If you're becoming STEAM certified, you have to have partners that are coming in to support and help those ongoing projects. So it's really just opened up a lot of additional doors for us, including our STEAM and School Garden program, which, you know, there've been many school gardens happening off and on for many, many years, and a lot of people that have really poured in and made those happen. But we had an opportunity that we've been building up to for the past year and a half or so, which has brought 30 new school gardens to our district.
Wow.
So it's a partnership with an amazing organization based in Colorado called Big Green. And they work with communities all over the country to help them grow food. So one of the main ways that they start with that is providing resources for school gardens. And they found us about a little over a year ago. And because of all that work that people had done surrounding school and community gardening for many years, they felt like Savannah was a really good fit for them.
Yeah.
So we've spent the last year building this partnership with Big Green and our school system. And then they're also working with a bunch of early learning centers, so really getting in with young kids. And what they do is they give each location a learning garden kit that comes with these beautiful raised beds with built-in irrigation.
Wow, that's great.
So that, you know, by the end of this school year, there will be 30 30 more schools that have gardens, as well as 10 early learning centers. And so we'll spend the next couple of years really working with the schools on how do they want to use that resource, because it's going to look different at each school,
sure.
You know, and that's kind of the beauty of it, that there's, it's not a one size fits all. It's an opportunity for schools to focus on what they want with that resource. And there's just so many opportunities to use the garden as an outdoor learning space. And we just had a ribbon cutting at one of them yesterday at Schumann Elementary. That is, it's a full outdoor learning space. And they showed in the ceremony all the ways that the kids are learning about the garden in different subject areas. So that's like one example of how that creativity and open-mindedness that our district has led to wonderful partner-based opportunities.
Right.
There's certainly many, many more. I mean, we have incredible career track programs at most of the high schools, and it's very impressive. I mean, like, students can graduate from our district with certifications in many different fields. Some of them are creative.
Yeah.
So I think not too much to worry about with that.
That's
in Chatham County, yeah. Which is such good news to be able
such
to
good
share.
News. Oh my gosh.
Yes,
I
it
love
really
that.
Is.
What a,
yes.
what a gift for our kids here. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. And what a breath of fresh air, I think, given, again, the climate and the things you hear going on in other places. It's very frightening for mm-hmm. a lot of parents who really want their kids to thrive.
Right.
And especially after COVID, mm-hmm. like, you know, and the sort of, you know, isolation that so many kids had to deal with during that. I mean, what a breath of fresh air to know that it's kind of wide open spaces here.
It is. And I think too, you know, post COVID, we've all had to adjust in so many ways,
yeah.
of course, but in the education space, one of the biggest needs has been just to find new and effective ways to really engage the students.
Mm.
Because, you know, while for adults, those couple years were hard, but they really were, that was a blip
yeah.
in our lives.
Yeah.
But you think about the formative years for children mm-hmm. that had that type of interruption to normal socialization and normal everything that happens at school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different now. It's a really different time. And so I think that all the arts-based and project-based learning is a great tool for engagement. Because it's exciting, it's fun. You're not just learning an abstract skill, you're learning a skill, and then you're having an opportunity to apply it to something that really matters, and you can see why it matters.
Yeah.
So I think that's been an even bigger push for this type of creative learning.
Yeah. Well, one of the things before we wrap up that I think I love to talk about with any nonprofit that we have on the show is that, you know, I feel like the community always wants to support all the great nonprofits that we have here in Savannah. And so many times I think the disconnect sometimes with the community is, and the questions they have is like, I would like to support you. I'm not sure exactly what you need.
Yes.
And I always think it's important to provide that moment and that platform to be able to say, you know, what does Loop It Up need? Mm-hmm. What are the needs right now? And you know, what is it, funding? Is it volunteers? Mm-hmm. Is it all the things? Like, what do you need?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for asking, because you're absolutely right. There's people really do want to help, but the organizations need to make that very clear what it is that we need. And sometimes stuff gets lost. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about that. I would say that we kind of do need all the things, as you said. So we have so much going on all day, every day, that really any amount of time that somebody has available to volunteer, we probably have something that would fit in your schedule. So whether, you know, you want to set up something reoccurring, whether it's once a week or once a month or quarterly or something like that, we have opportunities for ongoing volunteering that is meaningful. So that would be, you know, coming in and maybe you participate in one of our programs in the same classroom
right.
every time you come in. So you can really build relationships with the teachers and the students. We also have like stuff that's kind of behind the scenes. You know, if being hands-on is not your thing for whatever reason, but you really want to help, we have a lot of hands-on volunteering that is at our office preparing supplies, putting stuff together for the programs.
That's important work.
It is. I mean, with 10,000 kids, like, you know how many markers and glue sticks we go through that have to get organized and prepared. So we have lots of volunteer opportunities. We also do, you know, evening and weekend events sometimes, particularly in the spring. It's a busy time for that. So if somebody wants to come and do sort of a one-time thing, or you have kids that you want to get involved with community work, we have lots of opportunities for that. So there's that sort of hands-on volunteering layer. We also are always collecting stuff. Loop It Up is very stuff-based.
Pretty sure I saw a request for a toilet paper roll.
Oh, that is one of the famous.
Did I see one of those?
Well, okay, recently. Not anymore. Oh, okay, I'll say on here, not anymore. Okay. That was hilarious. We asked for that once for a specific project, and they just kept coming. Like a year later, we get to the office, and there'd be like a bag of them hanging on the door handle. But we do post a lot of specific needs like that to our Facebook page and our Instagram and our Twitter, because stuff comes up that we need. And usually because we work so broadly, we don't just need like 20 of them. We need like 2,500.
Right.
So currently right now we are collecting children's books for like pre-K through second grade.
Okay.
So that's a great one if you're doing some spring cleaning, if you have books that kids have outgrown in your home and you're wanting to find a good new home for those. We are collecting a lot of children's books for our spring book box project, where the kids each make their own little library. They paint a crate and then we fill it with books and they take it home. So, so I believe we need about 3,800 books in the next month or so.
Wow.
So bring on the children's books. So we're always collecting items like that. And then, of course, financial contributions are always greatly appreciated of any size. With an organization this scale, we're kind of in a sweet spot where, like, you know, our needs are big, but also small contributions really add up.
Yeah.
When you think about what our daily schedule looks like, you know, $25, $50 donations cover a lot of the needs that we have on a daily or weekly basis. So we always are grateful for donations. We have a Friends of Loop It Up program that's, you can set up a monthly reoccurring gift on our website of any size. So that's a great way if you want to sort of have that sustained involvement with the organization.
Yeah. And then once you set it up,
you'll
forget about it.
Yeah,
it comes out, no hassle.
Yes. But we get an email every time and we get excited every time.
Of course you do. Yes. Of course. Why wouldn't you? That's fantastic.
But lots of opportunities to plug in.
So,
for sure.
No gift too small, which means, come and have a drink with us, or a bite with us on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Cause, like I said, all day on Thursday at Colleagues and Lovers, a portion of the proceeds will be going to Loop It Up. We love Colleagues and Lovers, Jane and the team over there. They're just wonderful people. They always want to give back to the community, always want to be a part of growing and really helping organizations. And, you know, I think it's such a great time to do it. They're in Habersham Village, by the way. If you haven't been over there, they have fantastic pizza night and they've got all kinds of good food. I don't know if you've ever had their dish over there. That's like a seared, like a charred cheese.
Oh,
it's basically.
I have not. But I'm getting that on Thursday.
It's so stupid.
I'm getting
good.
That on Thursday. I've never had something there that wasn't good.
Oh my gosh!
The food to the drinks.
Yes,
it's a great place. Very friendly place.
Yes.
It's right in my neighborhood.
So oh, nice.
Frequently, I'm over there.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Well, it's not far from my neighborhood, so we'll have to have a hop, skip, and a jump over there.
Absolutely.
Every now and then. Do you have a go-to cocktail that you? It's your favorite or?
Too many to name. Planning to sample several of them when we're there.
I knew we had something in common.
There it is. Found it.
Ding, ding.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Well, I hope everyone will come out and join us this Thursday. Now, we'll be there from 5 to 7. Come and meet the Loop It Up team, the Made Up Savannah team, and I'm sure a million of the other people that you know in Savannah. Come on. Everybody's going to be there. Colleagues and Lovers, Habersham Village. I love what you guys are doing, Molly. I just think it's such a wonderful, needed, just service and work that you're doing. And I think it's fantastic. I really do.
Thank you so much. It's been, I refer to it as a big labor of a big love.
Yes.
And that's really the truth. It's been such a gift to get to do this work and just really, you know, figure out how do we keep building more into what happens in Savannah. You know, what happens in Savannah on a consistent basis really shapes the experience of our kids. And I think, you know, it's like you should never give up on your dreams, especially the ones that positively impact the lives of children. So that has really been, that's been what our story's been about.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Yep. Leapitupsavannah.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
Yes. And all of our social media is a great sort of way to find your way into the world of Loop It Up. We keep all of that pretty up to date with amazing, amazing things that go on every single day.
Yeah, we'll have all of the links in our show notes of this episode, so you can get to it very easily. You can donate very easily. And then, of course, we'll hopefully see everybody on Thursday from 5 to 7, April the 4th at Colleagues and Lovers in Habersham Village. Thank you, Molly. This has been great. I hope we get to sit down and chat again soon.
Yes, looking forward to it. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Who's looking for a fun night out? I'm always raising my hand for that. It's about that time of year when we'll have some family coming into town, and of course, you want to entertain them with something new and totally fun. Well, we have just the thing. Savannah's best live music and theater experience, it's Savannah Cabaret. And you're in luck. Tickets are now on sale for the production of Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein at savannahcabaret.com. Tickets are on sale, savannahcabaret.com. This production is going to be everything, but you need to reserve your tickets because they will sell fast. I promise you that. The show runs April 18th through May 5th. Go ahead and get your tickets now before they sell out. Based on the classic 1974 movie, it's the hilarious show that tells the story of Dr. Frankenstein's grandson, Frederick, who is struggling to create his own legacy separate from his family's name. It's going to be a monstrous good time on Jefferson Street in historic Savannah. A fabulous cast and a laugh out loud great time, but only if you have tickets. SavannahCabaret.com. And later this year, we've got time traveling drag queens in the 1960s, maybe a little case of the cabaret killer. Doesn't that sound fun? Go get your tickets at SavannahCabaret.com. That's SavannahCabaret.com. This season, we're so proud to partner up with a trendsetter and a trend breaker in Savannah's historic district, the incomparable bar and restaurant that hits all the marks and sits right at 102 East Liberty Street. I'm talking about Savoy Society. You know, we fell in love with this downtown hotspot well before we even moved here, and it's captured our hearts even more as locals. Now, it's my favorite spot to grab a lemon drop martini. Hands down, best place to get a lemon drop martini. And I even like to try something new on occasion, like a sourdough flatbread, a slider, maybe even a new cocktail if I'm living dangerously. But don't even get me started on Me Gusta Mondays and the hot honey margarita, because once I tried that, Savoy Society, seriously, you had me at vinyl and wicker. The long bar, the cozy sofas, oh, and the pickled deviled eggs, and the mini hot dogs with the tots. It's a whole vibe. If you Google it, you'll see the popular opinion is the bartenders are just lovely. That's an understatement. They're really genuinely amazing. Stop by Savoy and tell them you heard about them on the Made of Savannah podcast. Savoy Society Sav, S-A-V, if you're looking for them on Instagram. Also, SavoySociety.com. Check out the full menu. Thanks for listening to the Made of Savannah podcast. Do us a favor, write us a review, give us a rating. Make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast and share this podcast with someone you know. Follow us on Instagram at Made of Savannah. And a huge thanks to our sponsors, Savoy Society, Colleagues and Lovers, and the fabulous Savannah Cabaret. If you or someone you know has a great Savannah story to tell, be sure to get in touch with us. We would love to hear it. The welcome mat is always out.